Hello and welcome to Any Given Game Day with Mike Harrison. It is, of course, our Super Bowl special. I'm Kieran O'Connor, joined, as always, by the dastardly duo of John Bath and Mike Harrison. Mike, I'll come to you first. How are you keeping?
Keeping well. Well, feeling good.
Good.
It's funny because one of the things I've been medicated with, I had to go through a series of B12 shots. And I'd always thought that B12 was like what Hollywood doctors ran out and gave to their clients, you know, Dr. Feelgood. And then they immediately went into kind of like superstar energy and stuff like that. But haven't noticed any change. I was saying, Doc, I got a podcast to do. Give me a big one.
And
made no difference at all.
Kieran and I are
whereabouts on the
we're
body
dosed
do
up on
they?
B12.
Yeah, we should. Whereabouts in the body does that get injected to, Michael?
They put it in the muscles of your arm.
Oh, no good.
Okay.
So
yeah, they'd have to find somewhere else for you
I
then,
had a
Kieran.
yeah,
I
I
assume
had a
buttocks, I
series
have to
of
say.
six. Every 3 days, and they switch arms, one or the other. And now I'm apparently okay. My blood level's better, and I'll have to do one every 3 months or something like that.
Okay. Well, look, on that joyful note, John, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm not taking any B12
You
injections.
know,
A bit of a
B12,
bit of a
yeah.
sore back, but that's about my only malady at the moment, I would say.
You look like you could do with some vitamins, I have to say.
Well,
B,
thanks.
C, vitamin D,
Vitamin
fish
K.
oils. You know, I use the vitamin K joke with the wife a lot. I can tell you, never goes down well. We have a Super Bowl to talk about. Very exciting. 11:30 on Sunday night. The NFC champions and the AFC champions clash, of course, in San
Is that this
Francisco.
Sunday?
It is this Sunday, Mike. Yeah. It is. The Seattle Seahawks take on the New England Patriots in what really should be classified, even though the Patriots, you know, have a lot of history of getting the AFC championship games. And to the Super Bowl, excuse me, and winning the Super Bowl as a huge surprise. Both teams were available around 66 and 80 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. So if you are sitting on those tickets and those slips, you are very much in the quiz. Jason, of course, who is our regular Seahawks listener, actually emailed me to say that he has a 66 to 1 bet. And of course, the odds are each way 1-2. So he is getting paid no matter what, but he will be hoping, of course, to take the big money home because you don't want to get that far and then lose out. And I think he quietly fancies. We'll get to that in a second. AFC Championship game, Mike. Now, some will remember the best bets. I went on the over on that. I did laugh a little bit into my pint as I watched the games. I watched that game in a pub because they do this thing on Sky where they were kind of mentioning the weather, but they kind of said that it would be okay. But then suddenly in the third quarter, we seemed to just turn into a snow game, which completely changed the whole outlook of the game.
Yeah, immensely. And I guess the reports were the snow was coming in, but, sometime later in the afternoon, at the way it came in almost right after halftime, was just amazing. And it would have been a more interesting, well, actually, I think it would have been a less interesting game without the snow, because I found it fascinating. And for the same reason that, say, when New England played the Rams in the Super Bowl, the 13-3 game, for most of that game, it was 3-3. And the way the teams were playing, it didn't look like either of them were going to score a lot. So that it was a next score wins kind of thing. And in this game, it didn't look like anyone would, could score because the conditions were getting so bad. And so to me, the most interesting thing was that Mike Vrabel basically, once they had the lead at 10-7, which is hardly insurmountable, basically didn't take a single risk. He was willing to run the ball into the middle of the line three times and then punt it on the belief that his defense could stop Denver from getting anything. And, if it had been Bo Nix, maybe it would have been a bit different, but, I'm not sure how much. You have to factor that in. And as it turned out, the big play of the game after that was Drake May running a naked bootleg, stiff arming a defender and getting a first down that ended the game, and that's highly unlikely. So it's hard to take much away from that game that will influence this one, apart from Vrabel's focus on situational football and his willingness to trust playing situation football rather than gamble, because that, and we'll get to it, I'm sure, in a minute, but that turned out to be a big talking point of the Rams, Seattle game, when the Rams passed on a field goal that would have put them up 10-0 to go for a first down to build it to 14. But conditions were so bad that Drake Maye's running was the biggest weapon the Patriots had. And if that's the case against Seattle on a good surface in good weather, that's not going to work.
Yeah, but I don't think I don't think we're going to see it like that, John. There was only 3 points scored in the second half of the Patriots Broncos game. There's a couple of missed field goals, but really it was
Yeah,
such
the
a
game was
strange
decided.
game.
The game was decided essentially in the first half, wasn't it? And I don't think, and neither of the teams involved would really have known that that was going to be the case before the weather took hold in the second half. And I was just wondering, like on the thing Mike noted about the other game about the not going for a field goal and going for a first down on fourth. You know, there was but the most critical, aside from, I suppose, Drake Maye's rush, as Mike correctly pointed out, being pivotal in the result of the game, there was Sean Payton's call in the first half to go for to go on fourth down, trying to get a first down rather than taking what presumably would have been a relatively easy or quite a kickable field goal, and that would have, you know, changed the scores quite comprehensively. So like, it's, you know, I wonder to what extent they would have sort of buyer's remorse about that call. Certainly buyer's remorse in the extent that it didn't come off and they lost the game. Like, that's not really open for discussion. But at the time, I think most people would have said that there was, you know, it was quite an aggressive, adventurous a play call there. But I think I saw Peyton speak after the game, and he said he didn't regret going for it on fourth down, but he did regret the play that he called. So I mean, these are the margins you're talking about in these types of things.
I think that was exactly it. And it was all the same stats guys, analytics guys who said, you got to go for it. You go for it in that situation, who were then saying, what was he doing? And I'm kind of old school, and I was saying, kick the field goal, take the points. But I agree with you that it was the play. It's outcome bias. If you make it, you're right. If you don't make it, you're wrong. And they were lined up to run a play, and they saw what defense New England was in, and they called a timeout, and Peyton changed the play. And I honestly believe that the Patriots thought they knew what was coming, and then when he called the timeout, definitely knew that something else was coming, and they changed their defense, and they came out and ran a play that played into the defense New England was playing. The chances of making it there were much, sorry, not New England, see,
Denver.
Seattle. But it made the chances of making that much, much less.
I think, you know, the way you say it's outcome based. I saw it asked and he didn't really answer. It's actually how aware that you were the conditions were going to get worse, because they have so much preparation done. I think if you asked him honestly, if you knew that the second half you were not going to score and that you were barely going to be able to get up the field, would you have took the field goal, knowing what was
Yeah,
actually coming?
but
Because both teams seem to
that's
have
a
not
different.
known.
Yeah, if the game was snowing at that point, there's
Because he went for a
probably no
field goal
way
when it
he
was
goes for the
snowing.
first down.
Yeah, he went for one when it was snowing and he missed. And you saw the Patriots punter slip, and you saw running back slip. They weren't even ready. They didn't even have the right cleats and stuff on. You're like,
But
what's
this was
going
in the
on
first
here?
half when the conditions were fine. I'd actually rather go for it when the conditions were like that for 1 yard on the slippery surface and take my chances that the defense might slip.
Cool.
But
Well,
they New England blew up the middle and had big more numbers on the flank on the offense's right hand side than Denver did. And so that was it, and again, maybe Bo Nix doesn't throw that pass and tries to take off around the edge. I don't know, but does he get there? I don't know. Didn't criticize Peyton for taking the field goal there, even though I would have taken it myself. Was what I said.
The NFC Championship game proved to have a call quite s similar to it. Seahawks winning 31-27. No score in the fourth quarter. Interesting. You wouldn't have said that if you woke up next morning. 31-27. Huh.
Yeah,
Oh,
and given all
nobody
the
scored in the
fourths
fourth. That's
and all the
weird. I
fourth
mean,
quarter scoring we saw in the playoffs, like it
I
seemed
know.
like
You
every
just,
game was just fourth quarter points.
if you ever look at quarter betting on any website, on Paddy's Betfair, Sky Bet, whoever you want to look at, the
It's
fourth is
always the
always
fourth.
got the most points. You
Yeah.
know, it's like usually 7.5 for the opening quarter. It could be 9 for the second, back to 7 for the third. It's usually 12, 13. I've seen 14 for the fourth. So anyway, I digress. Seahawks got there in the end, Mike. A really, really tough game, a really enjoyable game to watch. Again, with some calls that maybe certainly the Rams might look back on that fourth and six. Was it fourth and six he went for in the end? The one where they could have kicked a field goal. Do you believe that they should have kicked
Yeah.
a field goal there?
Yeah. And you know, again, you had a 4-point margin. You can see why you're going to keep a touchdown alive. I'm not sure that he trusts the thicker kicker as much as maybe he ought to, but that's what he's stuck with. And I think that was probably a conscious part of the decision. And it also meant that the unsportsmanlike conduct on Rick Rick Woolen didn't really decide the game as
Still not
many of
clever.
us had feared that it might. What I loved was the call was, you know, taunting directed at an opponent. Well, can you penalize a guy for taunting your teammate? Is that still taunting? Yeah,
Probably.
I was scratching my head about that one, and then it, you know, it turned out on the next play, the touchdown to Puka. So it kind of became, I mean, it was 15 yards closer to the end zone, but it still became kind of irrelevant because Puka would have scored even with another. And I loved after actually when the penalty was called, they went to the sidelines, and there's Sean Payton with his fists up in the air and kind of like, "Boy, can I coach?"
Okay, look, it leaves us down to
Not Sean
Jim.
Payton, sorry, Sean McVay. All
That's
these
the
Irishmen, all these it's the Rooney
one.
rule. They all have to have Irish coaches.
Look, it leaves us down to two. As I said, two that were huge prices at the start of the season. So if you did back either the Patriots or the Seahawks, well, fair play
Yeah,
in all
exactly.
honesty.
I
Like,
can. We
absolutely
certainly
fantastic.
didn't in our season preview show.
I do know one of our
No,
friends who's
I
backed the
guess I'll break
Patriots.
in right there. John was the only one of us who got a game right this week.
Oh, God.
Well, not a game, but he had Smith and
I'm.
Jigba getting 90 plus
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
yards,
Well,
which happened
in this day and
easily. And
age, that's kind of
well done,
a
John.
safe bet. Yeah,
Yeah, so John's now overall in the lead with 12-8 to my 11-9. I've lost every single pick in the
so
playoffs.
it comes down to the Super Bowl for me not to
Comes
win.
down to the Super Bowl.
See,
Yeah.
I can only be
So
tied with. That's
what you do is
interesting.
make me go first and then take the same bet. You can't lose.
Yeah. Boom. I like
Well,
it.
let's talk about it, right? The New England
Yeah.
Patriots take on the Seattle Seahawks. As of right now, again, we're recording and we timestamp it like MacGyver. Kids, look it up. 12, 13, sorry, 1:54 on Wednesday, 5-2 in the afternoon. The Seattle Seahawks are 2-5. The New England Patriots are 15-8. The game opened up with a 3-point spread. All the money has come for Seattle. It is now a 4.5 spread, moved a point and a half. Seattle Seahawks minus 4.5, 10-11. The Patriots 4.5, getting 4.5 is 10-11. The over/under now sits at 45.5, as it stands. Plenty of specials to get involved in, and of course, in a few moments, we will run through the special bets and the halftime shows. What everybody's listening for, to be honest, they absolutely love the Gatorade and Mike talking about the halftime show. But I'll start with you,
Oh, what
Mike.
do? Who is it? Is it? It's Bugs Bunny.
It is.
There you go. That's what I was waiting for. You can't
That's.
write this stuff.
You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. Mike, are you surprised that the vast majority of money has been on Seattle so far this week?
I don't think so at all. I think that's basically what the balance of, you know, if you look at the game and you look at the teams, that's probably what you would say. When it went up to 4 or 5, which was very quickly, then I think money started to go over to New England with the points. 4 or 5 actually seemed to me about what they would start at for that game. And I don't think it's ridiculous to bet New England with 4 or 5, but I think Seattle still it's probably a fair spread for them to be the favorites. And it's what the over-under is very well weighted too, but a lot of it depends on what kind of game you think it will be, you know, and can New England survive the kind of shootout that they had with the Rams? And can their offense perform better than it did in the bad weather in Denver? So, you know, that's really the question. They only managed one touchdown when the weather was good in Denver. So, you know, that's the
They were
question
under
mark to
pressure.
me.
They were definitely under pressure. But we spoke about Denver's defense and how that could happen. Seattle, like Mike, as a Patriots fan, which you are, how do New England win the Super Bowl? How do they go about
Yeah,
dissecting this team?
to me, the biggest thing is Smith and Jigba. I think if I were Bill Belichick, you know, I'd be thinking I want to make them win without Smith and Jigba as a major factor. And everybody is assuming that Christian Gonzalez will take him man to man. And I am assuming that New England will play mostly man defense. Or at least, you know, primarily because they play so much better in man than they do. They allow too many short passes and routes when they're playing in zone. But if it were me, what I would be doing is what Bill used to do a lot of the time, is you put your second best corner on Smith and Jigba and double him with a safety. And
Do you
the
think
second
Vrabel
best
will
corner,
follow stuff like that? Like, do you think Vrabel
I don't
thinks like
know.
Belichick?
I mean, he'll know he has to stop Smith and Jigba. I'm not sure that he'll think that's the way to do it. He may have more confidence in Gonzalez. But to me, Davis is a really good corner. And with help, knowing he's got help, he can play much, much better. And even if they zone up the secondary with the on the other half of the field, it you know, but you would trust Gonzalez man to man to completely shut down Kupp or Barner. Or Rashid Shaheed, you know, Shaheed,
Shahid, yeah.
whoever's the second receiver. So I think that would be my game plan if I'm New England. Whether they do that, I don't know. But I would say make Kenneth Walker beat me because he doesn't have Charbonnet to back him up. Make Sam Darnold beat me by looking for other receivers. If what's his name, AJ Barner is going to beat me, then I deserve to lose. And really, to me, that's the key. Their offense is going to have a lot of problems. And Seattle plays man and did a really good job against the Rams. I mean, if you know, they scored 27 points, but there were a lot of passes that got broken up. You know, they could have scored a lot more. And occasionally you could argue, well, that's interference, but you can argue that almost on every play nowadays, unfortunately. You know, but there were a number of big plays on defense from the Seattle secondary. And New England doesn't have a set of receivers like the Rams do. You know, there's no Puka Nacua there. And your number, you know, Boutte and Stephon Diggs are kind of like the 1-2 guys. And maybe Mac Hollins or Pop Douglas gets in, you know, for some play. And the tight ends are decent, but there's no Gronk there. You know,
And
so
both Diggs
I
and
think
Boutte went
it's,
missing in the AFC Championship game, you would say, just a little bit.
yeah, they took him out easily. And you know, and New England's offense is not really a control kind of offense. It's a big play offense. May throws big passes. He scrambles for yardage. He scrambles and throws big passes. But you think of the week before Denver, the touchdown passes to Boutte, and to who made the other big catch, one-handed catch. I mean, they were brilliant passes. They were 30-yard throws right on the button into a tightly defended guy, and that's going to be hard to do against Seattle.
Yeah, it was Diggs and Boudet. John, like, we have been accused of sleeping on Seattle for most of the season, if truth be told.
Yeah.
I think that was our kind
I
of
see what you
anti-Sam
did there.
Darnold. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. It's a great movie. It's a great movie. What do you want from me? Niles from Friend or from Frasier is in it as well. People forget that. People think it's all Tom Hanks and Meg. It's not. It's not. He brings David Hyde Pierce brings a lot. Anyway, so we have, and I think that was the Sam Darnold thing. I think that's what we probably like. He can he did it before Minnesota in places where you're kind of like, well, they've won a lot of games, but let's see what really happens.
I think a lot of the narrative was formed last year based upon how he performed with the Vikings. But I don't think Sam Darnold would be unique, and he's not the only quarterback to kind of shit the bed in the playoffs every once in a while. There's a long, long list of quarterbacks with better reputations than Sam Darnold who have done very, very similar. And look, if you're looking for the we can only talk about it at the moment, but in the NFC Championship game last or 2 weeks ago, he was outstanding. 346 yards, three touchdowns, zero interceptions. So like he's playing to the caliber of somebody who you'd expect to win the Super Bowl MVP. Like I don't think anybody is going to be very surprised if and when Darnold actually does end up winning that. And look, I think that's going to be how it's going to look for the most part. I would agree with Mike that I think that I'm not sure I'm putting words in his mouth here, but I think this is Seattle's game to lose for the most part, even though the Patriots are, they very, very much deserve their position there. But the Seahawks team, in my opinion, just seem to be better than what is a very good Patriots team, but I think they're better than them pretty much all across the board in every metric. And it's a big, dramatic turnaround from what were they, 10-7 last year? It's 10-7 versus a 4-13 team from, this time last year in the Super Bowl, which is quite strange. But this Seattle team has won 9 straight games, 13 of 14, and similar enough to the Patriots, by the way, who've won 16 of the last 17, including what I believe is a 9-0 record on the road this year. They're going for 10 from 10 in road games and to cap it all off at the biggest game of the season, which would be something special. But yeah, I think this game it's set up for the Seahawks, and I think it's one of those games that some of the Seahawks or some of Seattle's biggest strengths, of which they have a few different elements to this. So I would opinion obviously JSN Smith and Jigba is a huge part of it, but other than that, this Seattle team seems to be very, very adept at generating pressure without having to commit too many men to the blitz. And, they finished, I think, the top 10 in sacks. And that's by rotate, that's even including rotating that defensive front quite often. And as well, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago on the show when we were previewing the Patriots and Broncos game. But there are questions now that are emerging, particularly in the postseason, about the efficacy of the tackles in the Patriots offensive front. So I think Campbell and Moses have given up, I think, 9 sacks between them. Drake May has been sacked 5 times in each of the games he's played in the playoffs. And even more concerningly, from a Patriots point of view as well, they've had a spectacular season. Drake May has been brilliant. No one's going to argue against that. He's the top of the league in completion percentage, yards per attempt, pass rating, all those things. And he's up there with Stafford for the MVP. But in the playoffs, that production has not carried through. They're putting up Cleveland Browns points totals. They've got 16, 20,
Every
21.
fucking week.
It's a negative thing,
Super
though.
Bowl
It's a
show, the
negative
Browns
thing.
gonna mention. All
Yeah, but
right.
they're putting up the point totals they put up are 16, 21, and 10 in 3 postseason games. Now, look, they can clearly improve upon that. No one's going to be surprised if they score more than 21 points this weekend, but it's not lining up where you want it to be. And particularly with, like I mentioned, Will Campbell and Morgan Moses giving up a rake of sacks recently and some other little frailties, across the board. I think this is very much set up for Seattle to win.
Yeah, May has not turned the ball over a huge amount, but he's fumbled a huge amount, and they've been lucky to recover it. Like last week, it was 6 fumbles, and 3 of them the Patriots recovered. But that's pressure. I think John's absolutely right. Pressure is going to be the hard thing for May, which when you're looking at prop bets, you have to take that into account. And he's going to be under a lot of pressure a lot of the time, and they may have trouble establishing the run as well, for a similar reason that John says. McDonald is a really good defensive coach, and he brings all that stuff from the Ravens that he had as defensive coordinator there. And so they, like John said, they mix it up a lot. They've got interchangeable pieces inside, outside, or on the second level, and they'll bring the rush from almost anywhere, and that's going to be tough for May to deal with. The Patriots are similar, but they're not as good apart from the interior guys. Barmore and Milton Williams are a really good pair, and Tonga, but not they don't have the quality around the edges that Seattle's got.
Okay, well, I'll get your final say on the who will win the game, John. I know you've already said Seattle's, but will they cover the spread and the over under in about 5 minutes? But we'll slightly digress across to much more important markets, that are always enjoyed by our listeners, the novelty specials. So I'll get now, lads. I'm going to ask you these, right? I don't need long, winding answers, right? I just need you to answer the question, maybe one sentence, but.
I looked at a certain website that we used to use religiously in our things, and
Wordle.
unfortunately, besides all the bets about Bugs Bunny, the Gatorade was the only other one I found. I didn't find the like length of the anthem and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I have that.
And
It's on Paddy's. So Paddy's and Sky, but Betfair is too highbrow to have this occasionally. I do remember having to ask them, because
See, I
it's the
used to
same
think that was
company.
why they liked me, but there you
Same
go.
company. That always drove me soft when I worked there. I'd be like, I remember. What's his name? Joey Chestnut was doing the hot dog thing, and Paddy's had a load of offers, and I had to like beat down the traders because all they have to do was map it to the website. It takes like 2 seconds, and they were like, "Oh, we didn't really think we'd put it on Betfair." I was like, "Will you, for God's sake? I've nothing to talk about. It's the 4th of July. There's no football's on. The racing's terrible. It's like Tuesday or something. Like at least I could have some fun on social with this if you just map the bloody markets for me." Okay, the
Let it all
color
out,
of
Kieran. Let it all
the
out.
you couldn't
No, I'm letting it out.
you couldn't even put it on the dog racing page.
No, I have my even I have my limits. All right, when it comes to what I will gamble on, and dog racing is right up there with the no. I might do it on a stag, but like genuinely, like
Yeah, didn't we do that on your stack, Kieran?
yes, John, we did do too. Yes, we have to have some form of gambling.
Don't bet on Joey Chestnut in the fourth at Walthamstow.
Joey Chestnut went over that year, let me tell you, and I would have backed him. I can't remember. It was like 69 dogs or something. The man's an incredible human being. He's like he's up there with Federer, but for me, like Federer, Brady, like the Michael Phelps, the greats. Right. Anyway, the color of first Gatorade on the winning coach. So your options are orange 5-2, yellow slash lime or green, which to me is kind of a lot, 13-5, blue is 11-4, purple is 6-1, red, pink, 8-1, and clear or water is 17-2. John
That's
Balfe.
a clear water is a red herring. Never go for that one. Previously,
Clear water.
I would have thought
I see what you did there.
clear water is
There
red herring. I mean, I'm just saying.
you go, Kieran. That's for you.
Double booking there.
I seem to remember that in previous years, red and orange was grouped together, and I used to really like that bet because it covered a
I
larger.
told this had to be short. Like, why are you going?
Okay, let's go. Yes, I'll do the yellow. No, wait. What was the other one?
Yellow, lime, or green are all together.
Yeah, that's the biggest catchment, so I'll do that.
Mike,
Which
orange,
is
blue,
kind of
purple.
the basic color of Gatorade, isn't it? It's kind of
There's
that.
also a ready kind of orangey one though,
I'm
isn't
already
there?
regretting doing this.
I'll go blue.
Okay. So Charlie Puth is singing the US national anthem.
Who?
Charlie Puth is his name. I
Okay.
kind of I'm trying to think of an album that he made. I do know of one of his albums. I think it's called One Night Stand or something.
Well,
One
you're one
Song
ahead of
Stand.
me.
It's over 119.5 seconds, so slightly under 2 minutes. So over or under 119. They have been going over.
Yeah, I'm always
Just
over in this one, so yeah, I'll go over.
okay. Heads or tails in the coin toss? I don't know why I'm even asking, but here we go. It's
Tails never fails, except when it does.
except when it does, but I that my strategy is I stick to tails every year, and I think more than 50% of the time you should win, like just ever so slightly.
Well, I said, first coach you think will be shown on the broadcast during the national anthem, Vrabel or McDonald?
Rainbow.
Vrabel.
Oh, amazing. I love that. May or Darnold to be the first QB shown.
May.
Darnold.
Okay. Who do we think the MVP will thank first in his speech? God is 4-11. Teammates is 2-1. Family 12-1. Coach 13-1. Fans 20-1. Or the team organization 25-1. Teammates.
Teammates.
Oh, interesting.
There's a rare
Two two
agreement
last
there.
ones. Two last ones before I move on to Bad Bunny. Will a player or a coach cry during the national anthem? Yes, it's 2-5. That's a good no. 7-4. There's a bit of
I'm
there's a
going
prize
no
there.
hard no on that one.
You got to stay
Yeah, me
focused.
too. Because you have to show it. right?
It has to be shown. Yeah, this has to be shown. And the total length of the last brave note held in the national anthem, just to be clear on that, this is settled on the total length that Charlie Puth holds the final brave note from when he starts to when the word ends. This excludes music or background vocals over 3.5 seconds or under 3.5 seconds.
Under.
This is great
I just scientifically
podcasting.
figured that one out.
This is
I'll go over then just to be different.
just to be awkward.
We
This
need to
is
have a show. We need to have a show going over all this stuff after the Super Bowl.
well, we are. I think we should do a show after the Super Bowl, obviously. So Bad Bunny is doing the halftime show. This is the first time ever that we've done this show, or since I've been watching the Super Bowl. I actually don't know the artist, which I feel like makes me feel kind of old. But he is obviously a Spanish, predominantly Spanish. I think all his songs are in Spanish, and he's very popular in Latin America and in the US, but not as
He's
popular
very
here.
un. I like him because he's very unpopular with MAGA.
He's very unpopular.
But
There is actually an, if you do want, there is a Turning Point USA halftime show which will be headlined by Kid Rock, but there is no betting on
yeah,
that.
the Charlie Kirk bunch.
Yes. Isn't Kid
I
Rock
wonder if they'll have
Canadian?
his widow sing the national anthem.
Okay. Before we get into any trouble with anyone,
Yeah. Well,
Bad
oh,
Bunny's first song to perform.
are there any odds on whether or not Bad Bunny gets arrested by ICE during the halftime show?
Not on Paddy Power, but I do believe there is kind of on Polymarket stuff like that, which is odd, but there you go. For the record, for those of you out there who do know, Tito Mi Pregunto is, I should look at these before, 5-4. Alambre Pua is 7-2. Bala Inlovedabla, 4-1. Monaco, 5-1. La Mudanza, 11-2. And Newall, 6-1. There's actually more. I'm
All
not
his titles are in Irish.
They are not. So I'm not even going to ask you to pick one of them because you didn't know who Taylor Swift was and you didn't know who Rihanna was and all of that.
I knew who Taylor
I
Swift
know who Taylor
was.
Swift is.
I didn't know any of her songs,
Cardi
but I
B
knew
is
who she was.
4-11 to make a guest appearance. It's a bit weird, isn't it? Ricky Martin, four to
Oh.
nine, 4-6 about Balvin, Jennifer Lopez, 5-6. Do you know what I backed last year, which was no one to make a guest appearance? Do they have that? And I think pretty sure it clicked the last 2 years. Rihanna didn't have anyone, and Kendrick Lamar. I mean, why
Yeah, I
would you
mean,
have
you don't
someone?
have.
It's taking away from
Yeah,
you. So if you can find
exactly.
no one, I would have a little
I suppose there's a
hesitation.
lot of people wanting the rub, you know, being there, you know, next to him on the big stage. But
I saw a thing where one of the rappers who performed in the year that Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Eminem did it, that just before they went on stage, Snoop Dogg said, "Dre, is it la-di-da-di-da or da-di-da-di-da?" I can't remember.
Kieran, well done.
True story. Super Bowl. Let's finish it off, lads. We got. Are you both money line? First off, who's lifting the trophy and why? John Baff.
Well, I think the Seahawks will win. So if you are just looking for a sort of a naked money line bet, there you go. But I also think I might stay away from the spread on this one potentially, but I do fancy, oddly enough, the under, what was it, 45.5, just because for the main reason that I have a slight bit of, I'm slightly nervous about the Patriots' ability to put up a bunch of points. And I think both teams have pretty damn good defenses. So that's basically the entirety of my thinking. But I think the under is probably the better of the two bets there.
It's like John is. I don't know if you noticed, but he went under in the anthem. He went for the most boring Gatorade color. He went under in the game, and he's gone for the 2-5 chance. So,
Conservatism pays
yeah,
off,
well,
Kieran.
that's, it's
I
a
don't know.
winning formula.
He's a very conservative man. He is. He
Kieran,
is.
who won fantasy football and who's winning our bets on this
Did
show?
you actually win the fantasy football this year?
I
I'd forgotten.
did.
So long
I'm just
ago.
going to settle for regular season champion.
I don't
I'm
really
going to
pay
be the
much attention
Sam
to our
Darnold of.
fantasy. I don't pay much attention to fantasy football. It's kind of a child's game, and that takes up so much time for some people, really. They need to look at themselves in the mirror.
That's
Mike.
true.
That is not what
That's
Kieran
true.
says in
Yeah,
private.
I think I agree on the money line. It's probably the Seahawks for me. As I said, I'm kind of looking at the pipe. I think it'll be a lower scoring game than people anticipate, and I'm looking at the Patriots 4.5, but I'm not convinced. The underdog, but if you're looking at that, the most interesting bets to me, if you really think. on the money line, New England can win. They're 4-1 to win and go over, and 4-1 to win and go under. And Seattle is 17-10 to win and go over, and 13-8 to win and go under.
Oh, I like that.
So I think, if you're really convinced on the money line bet, those are good avenues to look at rather than just betting the over under.
Yep, I like that. But before we finish up, I'll just touch on some touchdowns. Do we think? Do we look? Anytime touch. Funnily enough, for me, Jackson Smith in Jigba is 10-11, and Kenneth Walker's 1-2. I get kind of why,
Just
but
is that any time, is
that's
it?
any time.
Yeah.
Do we see Kenny Walker getting into the end zone?
I do.
Probably.
Yeah, I can see
Jackson
that
Smith in
happening
Jigba.
for
What about Ramondre Stevenson, 11-8?
less so, because he's too ob he's kind of too obvious in a way.
sure. Yeah, and he'd generally be attacking down the middle, wouldn't he? Where
May is
the
11
Seahawks
to
are quite
4.
strong.
May is 11 to 4. Anyone
And
else
I'm
catch your eye?
wondering,
Hunter Henry, Cooper Kupp, Stefon
I think
Diggs.
that one's pretty good. And Boutte is 16-5.
I would just mention as well that new on right now there might be a bit. Obviously, have a little look around, have a little shop around if you have a few accounts. The England defense is 17-2, and they have been fond of taking the ball away and bringing it back. They did it in the wildcard weekend, and they should have had one in the AFC Championship games, but the ref had the whistle in his mouth and went to breathe and accidentally blew the whistle too early. In my opinion,
Yeah.
Seahawks. That is
Best,
where we are for you. So, if
best
you are a Patriots fan,
both teams to score 20. That's the other bet that really interests me.
okay.
Yes is 6-5, no is 8-13.
Okay, I like
That
that.
is
Yeah.
interesting.
Uh,
Yeah,
do you
yeah.
want? Do you guys want to do a best bet? And if you do, speak now or forever hold your
Well,
peace.
it's for the this is for the championship, isn't it?
Oh, am I involved in that? Okay.
No,
Why don't
you're
you
not
guys? No,
involved.
you're
It's the
right.
championship.
Let's see. I can be involved. I can be
Okay.
involved.
You're in the relegation championship.
Yeah.
You get
Okay.
sent if you get sent you get sent to Channel 5 in Britain next year.
Okay. Well, Mike made too many jokes about that, so Johnny, you'll go first.
Yeah, I was hoping Mike would go first because, like, I could use his
No,
strategy of
I've
copying
decided
his
now.
bet and winning by default. But no, I will. I mentioned it a moment ago. I think Mike said it was 13-8 for the under and a Seahawks win. So I will. That's what I said. I thought would happen. So I may as well stick to it.
Okay.
I'm gonna take I'm gonna th throw this to John. Throw the championship to John.
Oh, Mike's betting on the Broncos.
No, I'm not going to. I was gonna take any touchdown by the defense or special teams is 2-1.
Yes, it
I
is. Yeah,
think
yeah, yeah.
that's a pretty good bet, but I'm gonna take a touchdown by Drake May.
Anytime.
Anytime.
Obviously, that's a rushing or potentially receiving touchdown, right? Not
Yeah, it
a
has to be a rushing touchdown, yeah.
yeah. I'll
I'm
do a Philly
gonna
special.
take Cooper Kupp 13-5, and I actually think that he is available as we stand right now at 12-1 to be the first touchdown scorer. And I think Seattle might come out and throw it a bit, try and really catch out the Patriots in the early stages of the game. And if they are, they might think, well, we'll use Jackson Smith and Jigba, but when we get down there, we'll go to Cooper Kupp for the actual touchdown. That is kind of a way I've been thinking, and I am going to have a little bit of money on Cooper Kupp at 12-1 to be the first
There you
touchdown
go.
scorer.
Okay, that
Of course, if
sounds
the
good.
Patriots receive the ball and score on the first drive, then that's all
See,
she wrote on that one.
that's my defense is designed to stop that.
Oh.
If I were the
Thank you
Patriots defensive coordinator, or if I were,
for
I'd like to be there, Ernie Adams, Ernie Adams sitting up there, looking at saying just in the coach's ear, saying, yeah, we gotta do this, gotta do that.
that.
That'd be a fun job, but it's a lot of work.
What's the consensus, by the way, on Super Bowl MVP?
Well, we don't know who's going to win yet, John, but
Yeah, but I suppose
Sam
probably
Darnold, quarterback of the winning
yeah.
team, usually,
Yeah,
unless
yeah, yeah.
someone really does something spectacular.
Speaking of
Speaking of
quarterbacks,
jinx, J. Trump.
one thing I was gonna say is I wonder what Geno Smith is thinking. I don't know if anybody's thought about that, but the team he left last season makes it to the Super Bowl, and the team he joined got the first pick in the draft.
the Geno factor. Maybe he'll get
Exactly.
traded to Cleveland.
Oh, I would not be surprised.
He's thinking he needs a new
Did you
agent,
see
I
the
would say.
on the
Yeah.
on the individual awards? Did you see the? I mean, they're all. I think Vrabel at 1 to 10 for Coach of the Year is like the shortest dot, the shortest dot or the longest odds of any of them. You know, you've got like McCaffrey for comeback at 1 to 100. Tet McMillen is Offensive Rookie of the Year, 1 to 200. I
Yeah, I saw
mean, you
some
know,
of
it's
those.
like
Yeah.
it's
It's done the
ridiculous.
deal. And well known, you see, you can't really be betting on them. Like, Roman Reigns was odds on to win the Royal Rumble, and look what happened. You know, these things get leaked, my man. It's what happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy that people actually bet on WWE.
I have, well, someday I'll tell you off camera, I'll tell you some state secrets about WWF and
I'll bet you, yeah.
the
I
betting,
can imagine.
the betting patterns that do appear on days of, and how they can be traced back to a very, very, very small amount of people. But that's a story for another day.
In area code 203, I'm sure.
Kieran, by the way, just
The
on this,
I
isn't, did
feel
you?
the same way about the Gatorade.
Yeah, it could be rigged. Yeah. John, what were
But
you going to
Kieran, I
say?
was going to say, I remember you said it to me a couple of years ago, and I've always thought it's quite interesting. But the coin toss, it's the only, or it's one of the, is it the only, or one of the only true 50-50 bets in gambling?
Yeah, so it yes, it is. Now, William Hill used to do even money. And I'm going to see if they do it this year. Heads or tails. It's 5 to 6 or 10 to 11 is the general sort of obviously, but you can't. And of course, if you have a boost, any sort of boost of power ups or whatever, bet boosts, Ladbrokes or bet boosts, Paddy Power or power ups, etc., you can. But yeah, technically it is because obviously on a roulette wheel you have a zero.
Yeah, the green little part,
So it's
yeah.
not 50-50. And things like that people think are 50-50, like, oh, the over-under is not really. Like, it's not just because it's priced that way. I mean, it could be the over-under could be 50 and the match could end 10-0. It's not a 50-50 chance, technically, under the way that you would price something up. But a coin toss is technically 50-50. Yes.
It's
Well,
interesting.
that's the beginning of Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Oh God, we almost got through a year without that being mentioned in gambling. We almost did, but we did not. And gentlemen, that is where I'm going to leave you because we're approaching about an hour. And
Okay.
people are probably looking to do things. You know, the ironing only takes so long, my wife tells me. Thank you so much for listening. For one, to everyone who listened, to subscribe to the channel, who got in touch, who rated, who left reviews, and who listened throughout the season. We are going to do a Super Bowl kind of analysis show, but we do have to talk to Mike about that. I don't know, Mike, if you want to tell the people what you're up to next week. I can cut this out if you don't.
Well, on Monday, after the Super Bowl and after I do a report on it in the morning, I'm getting married.
Excellent.
So Monday afternoon is out
Monday afternoon is out for the pod. We
for
will discuss it, but we
Super Bowl
will. We
recaps.
will do it, and we'll maybe have a little look at the pricing for everything for next season. So it'll either be late next week or maybe the following week once Mike is back from wedded bliss, shall we say. And have a wonderful day. And thank
Thank
you
you.
again
Thank you very
once to
much.
everyone for joining us. It really does mean a lot. It's been a great season, and we do hope to be back with the show again. But we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks about the Super Bowl. I hope all your bets come in. I hope Bad Bunny is amazing. Maybe he's going to turn me into a huge bunny-thon, I guess, something like that. John Ball, thank you for joining us throughout the
Thanks,
season.
guys.
Enjoyed
Pleasure
it.
as always.
Mike Carlson, the best of luck to you in the future on Monday and the rest of everything going on.
As Bad
And
Bunny would say, muchas gracias.
he would say that. That actually was. I'll have to cut that one. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you again. Bye for now. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Bye.